This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2022, held at Horizon Mennonite School in Hagerstown, Maryland, on March 4 and 5.
Okay, well, good morning. I think we'll get started. It's good to be together to discuss this topic together. I'd like to begin with prayer. God, you know what our needs are today, and we ask you to come and meet us and direct our thinking. We want to be your servants and allow you to use us in the places where you've called us to strengthen our schools and provide an education that forms students in your likeness, that prepares them to serve in your church. So we commit this time to you, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, our topic is changing curriculum, thinking about evaluating our curriculum and making good curriculum choices and implementing curriculum when we do make changes. And I'll give you just a little bit of background on where I come from so you know the kind of experience that I bring to the topic. I know there's a lot of different schools represented here with a lot of different formats and sizes and so on. So my experience is in a school of about 80 students. When I began teaching 14 years ago, it was smaller, maybe 40 students, and over a period of 10, 12 years, it grew to about 80 students, grades 1 to 12. I served as a high school teacher and administrator in that school. This was in Georgia. And so that's the kind of experience, that the angle that I'm coming from, but we'll try to talk about the subject in a way that can be relatable to people from different kinds of schools as well. I'm going to spend some time, a little bit of time defining what we mean by curriculum, and then talk about evaluating curriculum, choosing curriculum, and implementing new curriculum. And then I want to have a little bit of time, I hope to have a bit of time at the end to entertain questions or discussion. If you have things you'd like to bring to the topic. So what do we mean when we talk about curriculum? What is curriculum? In my opinion, from what I understand, I would define curriculum as the sum total of the influences that shape the students in a school. This is thinking about curriculum in a very broad sense, but I think it's a place to begin, that curriculum is more than what shapes our children, is much more than just the books that are in their desk. The total influence on them that shapes them includes school culture, the relationship with the teacher, their peer relationships, the events of the school, the policies and guidelines of the school. And so we need to keep in mind as school administrators and boards that when we think about what our students are learning and how they're being shaped, it includes all of these influences together, collectively, form them and educate them. Now, more narrowly, so in a way, we could think about curriculum as being the total picture of all the components of school. However, in this talk, we're going to define curriculum more narrowly, and by that we mean the framework or the materials that we use to structure the instructional content for students, to structure their assignments, and to structure the assessments, the academic assessment. And so we'll primarily be thinking about a curriculum in this more narrow sense, the instructional materials, the books, the materials that we purchase to use in our schools or create to use in our classrooms. And I wonder what percentage, if we were to think about all of the different pieces that have an influence on our children. What percentage do you think curriculum takes up out of the whole? Or how much of the formation of our children, what percentage of the formation is formed from the curriculum? In other words, could we change that out? How much would change in our students and their what they learn and who they become by changing out the curriculum? Because we know it's not the only slice of the pie. We know it is a slice. And I don't have the a percentage to suggest here. Maybe it's a third, maybe it's a quarter. I really have no idea. And it really can't be separated entirely from the other pieces. But I simply note this to say that we're going to be focusing on this, and it is a slice of the pie, and it's important. But just keep in mind that it's not like you can completely control or determine the influence in your children just by the curriculum. There's a lot of other pieces to pay attention to that are important in schools, and curriculum will be a component of that, but not the entire source of influence for our students. I'd also like to, as we go into the topic, consider the place of curriculum or how we think of what curriculum accomplishing in the school. We could think of curriculum as being a TV dinner. I have a picture of this. Will not make you hungry. But is this what curriculum is? A package of nutritional content that a teacher can warm up and then deliver to the student for consumption? Is that what curriculum is? It's this nice package of content that a teacher can sort of prepare and say, today we're doing lesson 32, and then hand to the student, and then they consume and are nourished educationally, academically. Well, I don't think that's a very good metaphor for what curriculum is intended to do. I don't think that's a very good model. Perhaps it would be better to think of curriculum, the materials that our teachers use to structure their content and their assessment and their classes, as being more of a cookbook that provides recipes for to bring the ingredients together and then provide and make something that is nourishing for the student and then share that with the student for their well-being, for their consumption, for their participation. Or maybe, I thought about that a little bit more, or maybe even a better metaphor is, maybe curriculum ideally, in many situations, can be a cooking kit, where it provides something of a recipe for a teacher, but also some tools, some equipment, maybe even a few ingredients to use to facilitate the instruction and the activities and the assessment for students in a classroom. So let's assume that you're a school, you're part of a school that's been running for some time, and you have curriculum materials in place for the most part. And let's also assume that you're going to probably continue to use what you've been using unless something comes to your attention that's a problem. Maybe something will come along, you'll run across another curriculum that will say, that looks better than what we're using now, let's make a change. But I'm going to assume that for the most part, our schools will continue to use what they've been using unless we determine, we notice that something is not satisfactory about what we're using. Now, I'm from Georgia. I'm actually living in Pennsylvania now, but I'm from Georgia. And in Georgia, we did not have annual inspections on our vehicles. We simply would drive our vehicles until either a light started blinking or maybe something starts squeaking or grinding. And then we'd go and figure out what's wrong and do something about it. That's the way I tended to drive my vehicles anyway. Now in Pennsylvania, I'm learning a new way of driving vehicles, and that is every year I'm required to go take it to an inspection station. They look it over to see if there's anything that's needs maintenance or replaced before lights start blinking or things start grinding, hopefully. Now, that's maybe gives us a way to think about how we approach curriculum. So we're in a school, we're operating, we're driving along. So there's two things that I'd like to say about this. One is that we should pay attention to blinking lights in our schools. Sometimes there are warning signs that something about our curriculum needs attention and needs to be changed. And I'll mention a couple of those blinking lights. One of those blinking lights is complaints from teachers or parents about something that's not going well. And I think we ought to give opportunity to hear to trigger those kinds of responses, actually. If a teacher is saying that they constantly have students that are frustrated with a particular curriculum that they're using, or if they find frustration in using it, that it's confusing to use, or they're complaining about the errors that are written into the curriculum, that's something that administrators and boards need to pay attention to. And I think it's healthy just at the end of every school year is a good time to have some kind of a staff wrap-up meeting where the board or administrator can just ask the question to all the teachers, have you noticed any weaknesses? Have you seen any problems in the curriculum that we're using, in the materials that we're using? Have you run into any difficulties? And that's a time in the year when it's probably on their minds, and it's a good chance to collect some information if there's a problem. Sometimes parents, I don't know that I would suggest that a school board sends a survey out to parents asking for them to vent on the problems that they see, but it is appropriate from time to time and healthy to give parents a chance just to reflect on what they're seeing in their children's education. If there's something that stands out in their mind that is a problem, that they'll have an opportunity to share that. That I feel like that a particular book that the child is using contains inappropriate pictures, or that there's some sort of, there's too much work or too little work. But it's good to hear parents' perspective from time to time about how things are working, and that can help sometimes notify us that we should be assessing the curriculum in a particular area. Another blinking light for schools would be achievement test and poor results on achievement test. These are tests that can assess students across the spectrum, and hopefully if you do achievement test, you get results where classrooms are averaged, where you can see an average for an entire grade, or even an average for an entire school, and see that compared to other schools and their averages in a particular grade or a particular subject. And if you notice that you're consistently, not necessarily just one year, but year after year, seeing an area on the achievement test results that's coming in low compared to other schools, you may not necessarily we may not be able to assume or just know immediately that it's the curriculum that's the problem. You may have some instructional problems on staff as well. So there's multiple things to look at, but if it is just in a particular subject area, that may indicate that you have a weak curriculum in that area, and that it's at least worth looking at. Of course, when we talk about good curriculum, we're not just talking about high academic scores, but it's one thing we care about. That's one thing that's important, that achievement test or standardized test can help alert us to. But I would suggest that it's not a good idea to simply wait until there are blinking lights, warning lights, grinding sounds coming out of the school to look at curriculum choices. I think that it's really healthy for a school to have some kind of a systematic review in place, regular and systematic review in place for curriculum. And one suggestion here would be, I know quite a few schools do this, is just every year to have a rotation, to have a schedule where every year the school simply looks at one content area and assesses and reviews the curriculum that they're using in that content area. So this could be done at any point in the year. Maybe summer would be a good rhythm, or maybe throughout the year, but this year we're assessing math. We're reviewing what we're doing in math in our school. I'm looking at it across the grades that are in our school. The next year, we review the English program and the English curriculum that we're using. The following year, social studies. It's keeps it from being overwhelming. I'm just to focus on one at a time, but it is systematic. And if a school would do that a year after year, they would get around all the subjects every 7 or 8 years, something like that. If you have Bible, math, English, science, social studies, music, maybe you want to take a year and look at electives for high school. But every 7 or 8 years, a school would be able to just do a systematic review in it. Different schools could do this at different degrees. It could be a fairly in-depth review, or it could be a fairly simple review, depending what you feel like, what resources and energy your school has. But at least give it some attention somehow, sometime. And I'll talk a little bit more about maybe a template or some of the pieces, components of this kind of review that you could implement. And I'd be happy to share these with you then. I think there's some of them are on your handout as well. But before that, I'd like to ask the question, whose job is it to review the curriculum and choose curriculum in the school? Whose job is it? Is it the teacher's job? Is it the principal's job, if you have a principal or administrator in your school? Is it the board's job? And I'm sure that we have different structures and have our job responsibilities broken in different ways in different schools in our communities. I know we do, but I would suggest that at some level there needs to be board participation and initiation. If the board is the one saying that we want to review the curriculum in this area and we want to be involved, we want to choose the curriculum, or at least be involved in the process, there's a strength and just a power to that is not going to, there's a strength and stability that comes to the school's program and curriculum when a board is the one taking that kind of initiative. I think it signals a lot to a community and to a school when they see the board being involved in that way and being proactive and evaluating, saying we care about what's happening here and we're going to look at this carefully and work hard at making good choices in this area. It sets a culture and a tone that is very healthy for a school. And so I would also advocate communication with staff, that staff has a voice, that staff are involved in some degree, there's communication back and forth, but they know the board is ultimately on top of what, of the evaluation and selection of curriculum in a school. Now, as far as the who does the systematic review, I think there could be various players as, that would take part and play a part in that annual review process if your school were to implement that. It wouldn't necessarily have to be the board as a whole that would do all of the evaluation. They could assign a special committee to be the curriculum review committee, and then that committee reports back to the board. And that committee maybe could include a board member, the administrator of the school, principal, could include a teacher that has a particular strength in that area, curricular area. And so that committee could actually vary from year to year, depending on which subject is being reviewed. But the more that a school could create a process that's standard, and that they have the procedures in place, just a matter of plugging people into those structures, the more successful they'll be at being able to maintain that kind of review process. You may even want to think about whether you have a patron, a parent, that has a particular strength in a subject area. If you're reviewing science and you have somebody that has some background or real interest in science in your community that's a dad or granddad, ask them if they'll serve on that committee and help to evaluate the science curriculum for that cycle. I think that can bring some healthy involvement from outside of the school board and staff even. It's helpful to have some sort of a template that a school can use to evaluate the curriculum that they're using. And when I say curriculum, I'll say curriculum, sometimes program, because program can include more than curriculum. But the curriculum often forms the heart of our program in a particular subject. So that's what we're focusing on here. You could, create your own process, your own template here. But we see here that we could just put down what year we're in, what subject we're reviewing this year. And something that would be helpful to begin is just simply list the curriculum that's currently being used. This is what we have in our school. And what we're using. Secondly, what are our objectives and priorities in this area? And I'd be happy to send this file to you if you're interested in it. Pretty basic, but just let me know at the end and I can send it to you. But this feels like maybe one of the most important parts of the process, and maybe the most work. But we're really going to have a hard time assessing our curriculum and deciding whether it's what we want or not, if we don't know what we want it to accomplish. So what's the content that we want our students to learn in this area? And we're not going to be able to be exhaustive here, I don't think, but think how to summarize what's important to us in this particular area. What skills do we want them to know, and what values we want them to develop through this study, what habits we want them to form. Just to really wrestle with those questions and then list them does a couple of things. It helps us then have some sort of a standard to use when we look at our curriculum and say, is it doing those things? But it also begins to help us cultivate a vision for what we want our students to learn in these different areas. And sometimes you can take, just by identifying things that are important to us, it enables us to use the curriculum that we do have more effectively, because we know these are priorities for us. We really want our students in the course of their math education to be able to keep books really well. to know how to use QuickBooks. We want them to be able to manage bank accounts. What are the priorities, things that you feel like are really important for your children, and what subject areas can you use to focus and develop those areas? Another component then, another part of the process could be to share this list of objectives with teachers and ask them from their perspective to rate how the current curriculum is doing and achieving those things. So if you have a list of objectives and you put it in front of your teachers that are teaching the subject areas and then say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, or 1 to 3, whatever you choose, is this curriculum that we have, that you've been teaching, accomplishing these different things? And let them, give them a survey where they rate the curriculum that they're using, and that gives you a information that's actionable as a board. So those summaries could be, or those results could be summarized here on this template. And then the committee itself that's in charge of this needs to spend some time with assessing the curriculum in these areas. How is it achieving our objectives? And that's going to mean bringing out the books and scanning through the material and spending some time with it. And then finally, this committee, it'd be healthy just that one spot for them just to summarize the results and make a recommendation. We feel like that the curriculum that we have is satisfactory, and we recommend we keep using it, or we keep using it with this addition. We think that this particular curriculum is subpar and we need to make a change. We recommend a change. So the review process would not be necessarily going looking at new curriculums. This would simply be evaluating what we have in place right now. And if doing that annually is too demanding for your resources, then could you set it up on a biannual schedule where every other year you look at something? I feel like that it's important enough to have some sort of a system in place that can bridge gaps, bridge turnover in school boards, and bridge turnover in teachers, but something that can keep rolling during the life of the school. Any questions or comments on this idea of an annual review process, or let's just say a regular review process? Is it something that maybe your school does that and you have a comment, or maybe you have a question about that? Yes?
Are you recommending a thorough review annually, or just a quick check to make sure we're still on track, and then every so often a thorough review?
Well, I'm suggesting that every year one subject gets a semi-thorough review. I'm not talking about going through every assignment and analyzing its strengths and weaknesses, but I'm talking about doing something like this every year for one subject, and then rotating through the subjects year after year, so that in the course of 8 years maybe you've looked at all of your curriculum, then you start back over and just keep doing it again. Yeah.
So, as far as you mentioned about, you know, the curriculum is something that has to span more than just particular teachers or even board members. I mean, that vision has to be, mm-hmm. and I totally agree with that. Obviously, your annual review is going to be information from teachers,
yeah,
evaluation, that kind of thing. How do you compile, or what do you take that form then, and you take it over a multi-year, mm-hmm. how do you crunch those numbers then to decide what to do with your curriculum, yeah, because your evaluation is going to change with teachers as well,
mm-hmm.
or could.
Right. Well, you know, one thing that could be helpful is that this were put into a program that where you'd have, I like to use spreadsheets because you have all the tabs at the bottom. And so in one file, you can have a lot of different kind of running projects going, or something like notebook. What you could have is somewhere a master file where you have a schedule that says, that lists, you know, the next 10 years and what subjects are scheduled to be reviewed over the next 10 years, and then just kind of have it mapped out where everybody can look and see the same thing. And this is what we've agreed to as a board. And then every time that math comes around, so if you evaluate that in 2022, you would have those results there, but then have that actually be a running document to where the next time you come around to math, you actually just add to it. In 2030, you're evaluating math again, but that's, you have the results from 2022 right above that, and you're not having to reinvent everything. As you maybe already have your objectives listed there, and you can just come back and look at those and say, is that still what's important to us? Is there anything we want to add? And then you also have the review from what you did last time to kind of build on and use as a springboard. One idea.
Do you feel there's subjects that are more important to review than others? I mean, okay, say you use CLE math or CLE language arts, and you use Avaca or Saxon science. Do you feel you should review some of the Saxon science more often than you would a CLE? Because you kind of put a little bit of faith in the Baptist background of the CLE versus the Saxon.
Yeah, that would be something your board could definitely decide that that's more important to do reviews more often in some areas. And you maybe know the areas where you tend to be, you are dissatisfied. And that's not to say you couldn't, when problems come up or something comes to your attention, you don't deviate from your schedule or do additional work in addition to this. But my feeling is that some subjects, because of your confidence in the curriculum that you have, it's just going to be an easier year. You know, you're not going to have to dig quite as hard, or you're going to have more quickly determine that it is what you want to continue to use, but that you still keep it in the cycle so that it doesn't get neglected. Yes?
One of the things we could benefit from would be some kind of a roll-up. So how do we know, for example, are most of our incentive to review curriculum comes from our achievement tests? So we typically, as a board, along with the administration team, we'll review the achievement test together. Mm-hmm. And it's very common to spot patterns and say, yep, this year has shown up again. Mm-hmm. And so we discuss the relevant curriculum and, you know, there's a hole here. Maybe we need to do something about that. Mm-hmm. But then there's kind of this sense that maybe we're not teaching the curriculum right. Mm-hmm. We try to factor out teachers. No, this year was a different teacher. Is there some way, is there resources where that can be rolled up against greater averages, and we can find out, hey, there's these other 10 schools that are using this, and they're not having that problem. So it's trying to chase after their curriculum to solve that problem might not be the first step to look at. So you should look at how it's being executed. Is there any resources like that?
Where you can compare schools that are using the same curriculum and see if they're having similar patterns or not. The other thing that comes to my mind right now is the Alan Troyer from Elida, Ohio, uses CAT forms, and he actually has a display down here. So anybody that uses the achievement test that he grades and uses his scoring service, he does compare with schools, I believe, that use the same kind of curriculum. And so there's gives a little bit of comparison.
So the specific curriculum is part of the data there?
Yes. Okay. Now, I believe the only tests that he grades are the California 1970 CAT test. And so you'd have to use those achievement tests in order to participate and get that benefit. Now, does anybody else know of something similar with any other kind of data that could be helpful here?
If he includes the curriculum use, that should be very helpful.
Yes. Okay.
question.
Yes.
Do you have more to say about involving the people? I know from being on the teaching side and on the board side that teachers get opinions about curriculum, and then boards feel like, what skill do I bring to this? Do you have more to say about pulling in community people that where the board can administrate the process but rely on people with knowledge and skills in the community?
I think people with some kind of teaching or educational background are helpful in the process. So sometimes there are ex-teachers or people that have taught in the past or have involvement in educational settings that maybe can be tapped. But I don't really have any thoughts besides you as a board identifying who are the people in this particular community that could have a good would have good judgment about these matters.
I like that notion. The board can, in essence, draw from those skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's continue on. And suppose, let's talk about choosing new curriculum a little bit. If a school would decide that you're not satisfied with what you have and you want to make a change, what are a few ideas for moving forward? Let me just wait on that. So I have a list of procedures on your handout. This is not exhaustive necessarily, but some ideas for you. Identify and write down a list of objectives and priorities that your school has for that subject area. You've probably already done that if you've done the review. If you haven't done the review, I think that it's an important part of the selection process that you say, what do we want, what's important to us, as you're going and looking for a new curriculum. Then research the options, what's available. Some ideas here would be to talk to other schools, find out what they're using, come to CASB and talk to people. B, look at curriculum providers and reviewers. This is a magazine that, and a website that I've used at different points as an administrator, Rainbow Resource. They have a nice catalog. They also have this website. And it is an organization with a Christian perspective. But they have a lot of resources, and you can go to Science, and they list kind of all of the providers, at least that they've looked at, and they have a pretty wide range of selections. Where you can go to Spelling, and they'll list a bunch of different spelling curriculums. So that's a place to get some ideas. There's a website. This is called Kathy Duffy Reviews. This lady is a longtime homeschooling advocate. She's Catholic, but she's reviewed lots and lots of different curriculums. And it has Kristen Light, it has Rod and Staff, it has Bob Jones, almost anything that you would consider using, she's probably reviewed and written about on this website. And you can just get her opinion about its strengths and weaknesses and how it compares to other. And then she also goes through and picks out kind of her favorites, what she's found to be most helpful. I think that it's not like you wouldn't want to do your own assessment in addition, but it can help narrow the field sometimes. Thinking about the curriculums that are just commonly available, these are not the only ones, but from Anabaptist, like we have Rod and Staff, Christian Light, Faith Quitters has a little bit. In the evangelical world, there's Bob Jones, Abeka, Apologia, ACSI, ACE, and Biblioplan is another one that has particularly some history some schools use. And then there are some secular developers as well that sometimes are good options depending on what we're looking for. Only all of these have to be reviewed and evaluated. But these are some places to look. Um, Most of these places provide review copies. If you would like to just look at a copy, you can contact them and they'll provide sometimes free samples for you to review. Sometimes you have to pay for them with the option of returning them for reimbursement. But okay, well, our time is almost going here. I'd wanted to spend some time with this, but you need a criteria by which to review and assess curriculum. And this criteria, along with some more specific questions, is on your handout. But are the ideas in this curriculum consistent with the biblical understanding? Are they consistent with the teaching and life of Jesus? Are they aligned with an Anabaptist understanding of the Bible and Christian life? And the things to look for are, you probably know this, but nationalism, a God and country kind of approach, something to watch out for, playing down the role of the church, the place of discipleship, would be other values that sometimes, depending where you're going for curriculum, can be downplayed or misrepresented. And I think we really need to work hard as schools to provide curriculum as much as possible that is in line with our values, our beliefs, and holds up the people, the kinds of people that we want our students to become. Another thing that sometimes it's maybe hard, a little harder to determine, but there are different pedagogical approaches in curriculum. Some curriculum is very fact memorization based, and this kind of encourages a copy and paste approach to learning. Here's a question, you go to the text, you find the answer, you copy and paste it in. Copy, paste, and now you're learning because you know how to copy and paste. Look for curriculums as much as you can that cultivate understanding of concepts, encourage students to think critically, and be creative and not simply copy and paste. I could talk about some curriculums that lean more one way and ones that lean more the other way if you are interested in hearing that afterwards. We're out of time, so we'll wrap things up. Maybe one final comment about the financial side of things, because that does matter, I know. But something to look at when you consider the cost of this curriculum versus the cost of this curriculum is, you know, what is it going to cost over a period of time, maybe 10 years? Don't look at just 1 year cost, because sometimes one curriculum may cost more up front, but then over 10 years, it actually is cheaper than something else. So that's keeping a long-term view on that is helpful. A few other notes there on your handout that you can see that I didn't get to, but thanks for your attention. Wish you God's blessing as you serve in the school where you are and work to help raise up children that can love God and serve the church.
Thank you for listening. For additional recordings produced by the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, visit The Dock for Learning at www.thedockforlearning.org.